Hi, and welcome to the Impact Exchange, where we explore the intersection of retail and corporate social responsibility with the change makers behind the impact. We are recording live from Shop Talk 2023 in Las Vegas, Nevada, where we will be interviewing founders, CMOs, presidents about their company's social impact and their dedication to social impact and corporate social responsibility. And today we are joined by Danny Tang, founder and CEO of Boxu. Hi, Danny. How are you?
Hey, Molly. I'm good. Thanks for having me. Super happy to be here.
Of course. Yeah, we are thrilled to have you here at our booth. So tell me, how is Shop Talk going for you so far?
It's fun. This is my third Shop Talk, I think, and I've also been at a grocery shop twice, so I've been to this conference many times, and I kind of know what to expect now, but my liver still is not ready for it every time I come here.
And today is day one. It's the start of the conference. Have you gone to any interesting sessions or met anyone at booths that you've been interested in?
Not yet. I mean, like, so we're based in New York City. New York and Tokyo is our two offices, and so every time I come here, I still have to, like, work the whole morning because it's like East Coast hours, and then I only get to actually start walking and doing stuff maybe in the afternoon of Shop Talk.
Yeah,
but I'm excited to, like, it's looking like this is probably the biggest Shop Talk I've been to in a long time. I think we're all back from COVID now.
Yeah, definitely. I know we were here last year as well, and it was the retail reunion, getting everyone back together. So it's great to see that in full force for a second year kind of post-COVID. And yeah, getting everyone together in the retail space is always exciting.
Yeah. I love being here.
But we're here to talk about your impact. So okay. I know you're a new client of Shopping Give, recently got up and running. But first, I want to hear a little bit about the founding story of Boxu and why social impact has been so important to your company as a mission and part of your ethos.
Sure. Although I'm originally from New York, after college, I went and lived in Tokyo for 4 years. And I'm personally really passionate about Japanese language, food, and culture. I studied Japanese in college, and then I studied it further there, and I moved there. And ended up also working and living there. I was working at a company called Rakuten. They're like the Amazon of Japan, and doing biz dev strategy. But in total, I lived in Japan for 4 years, got business fluent in Japanese, traveled throughout the country, even met somebody my last year there who's now my husband, who's Japanese. Been together over 11 years, so met pretty young, actually. But and then when I moved back to New York about 10 years ago, I all of a sudden, like, lost access to a lot of the great food and snacks I ate there. But more importantly, I saw that there's this huge kind of gap and lack of understanding that most Americans and Westerners had about Japan. Like, I would talk to friends and they literally would ask me, like, do Japanese people eat sushi every day? Like, there's just like geisha everywhere in the country? I'm like, no, neither of these things are true. And so I started Boxu as a way to bridge cultures through this delicious, authentic food. And, like, the snacks we carry and we put in our box cannot be found in America. People think it's like Japanese Kit Kats. It's not. It's like these family businesses that have been operating for generations, some 200 years old, and a lot of them are actually having trouble selling their products nowadays. And so we're really helping them bridge their products and diversify their channels.
That's great. So social impact really is embedded in your mission as an organization and in the founding. Can you tell me a little bit more, maybe based on your time in Japan or your personal values as an individual, of what inspired your company's commitment to social impact and sustainability or philanthropy, whatever you want to call it?
A big part of it was that when I lived there, like, there's a huge emphasis on kind of family businesses and local small businesses in Japan that I feel like America has either lost, which has never had from the beginning, because America is a relatively young country. And I feel like in America, we're always about, like, you go big or you go home. Like, you go boom or you go bust. But in Japan, there's this big, much more kind of focus on maintaining this lineage. Like, for example, one of our businesses we work with is this 100-year-old candy business, hard candy business in Kyoto called Daimonji Amehonpo. And there have been 12 people in the family running it for, like, a century. And I asked the next president, he's the fifth generation president, he's around my age, like in the late 30s, and I asked him, like, oh, like, why did you take over the family business? Like, why didn't you go do a different job? And his response was like, and also, why don't you expand? Like, you guys are great, why don't you do more? He's like, we're not really looking to expand. For us, our whole thing is that we're really proud of our heritage, and we're a 100-year-old business, and we're actually relatively young, is what they said. Because in Kyoto, they have like 300-year-old companies there.
Wow.
Like, older than America, like, which is kind of crazy. And for them, they're like trying to just maintain and pass the family business on to the next generation, which is like a very different mindset. And so that type of stuff, like, I kept encountering that when I was living in Japan. And it just, like, really inspired me. And just to see these real people running the real businesses. And like, it broke my heart to see that a lot of them were suffering because of a lot of different population things happening in Japan, like a declining population, declining domestic product type of thing like that. And also young Japanese people are not as interested in these like traditional, authentic family business stacks. But actually the rest of the world is. And so it's actually a really perfect match.
Yeah. And, you know, I think I visited your website and that value system is so clear in your messaging and in your visuals and branding. How has that been communicated in your social impact efforts? Tell me a little bit about your initiative so far.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's something that we're just kind of, although it's embedded in a kind of our DNA of as a company, like social impact beyond the sustainable supply chain is something we're kind of getting into just nowadays a little bit. But from the beginning, the big thing before I talk about the kind of social impact through Shopping Gives and other initiatives is that we always want to make sure that the supply chain we set up is sustainable and fair for everybody along the way. Like sometimes a lot of people think because we're a subscription box is our main business. Sometimes people think like, oh, are you getting these products for free? Like Birchbox model where it's like samples and you put it in the box type of thing. And I'm like, no, we're not getting like excess almost expiring products. Like we're like legit buying products from these family businesses throughout Japan. Cause like, I think it's super unfair to be like, hey, we're going to do marketing for you in America. Give us free stuff. I think it's much better and much more sustainable and also gives you better product, like fresher, better snacks that taste good. And you could choose it to do it that way. So like we pay fair wages and we do everything set up. We have an entity in Japan, like an office there as well. So we transact in yen, which is easier for them. And so we're trying to make it as kind of streamlined as possible. As we grow, then they grow with us and things like that. So that's one big way. And we were very transparent about it as well. Like we show the names and faces and the brands of there are businesses that we're selling. And so that just like kind of shows everybody that these are real people that we're helping out. In terms of like a little bit more kind of philanthropy outside of that nowadays, we're really trying to build more relationships with like Japan-related nonprofits in America. One good example is the Japan Society based in New York. They do a lot of work kind of bridging the U.S. and Japan relations. It's a 100-plus-year-old nonprofit. It's been around for a long time. And so I've started getting much really close to them. And actually, we were working with Shopping Gives to set up that as a cause for our customers to be able to donate to that and to start building up like that type of relationship. And hopefully, through Japan Society, find other ways to support small businesses in Japan.
What trends in the consumer space do you think led you to wanting to integrate social impact into your external marketing and the customer journey? Why was it important to you to communicate that message externally?
So what's funny about that is even though it was in our DNA, in the very beginning, we didn't communicate it as strongly because we thought maybe customers didn't really care that much. Almost like they just want their delicious snacks come and they eat it, right? But then as time went on, especially because that's been something we've been emphasizing for the 7 years of running Boxer now, I think that has embedded. But I think there is a trend where people are buying small more now. Like people are realizing that like Coca-Cola is not your friend. Like these big CPG companies are not your friend. They're not here to like, you know, there's no real people behind all of this. It's like a big corporate machine. And so people are buying small more often. Two, they're realizing that like family businesses are kind of going out of business in a lot of different ways. And then three, we've actually last year, for the first time ever, 6 years into the business, did a deep like persona kind of analysis and interview of our customers of all different types. And we have some foodie customers, some traveler customers, some family customers, like different personas. But the interesting thing was across the board for all of them, they all voiced that one of the big reasons they stay subscribed to Boxu is because they want to support these family businesses in Japan as well, besides also the delicious snacks and all the fun things they love. And we're like, oh, we need to lean in harder into this messaging is like kind of the takeaway we had. And so we've been like messaging that a lot more, like front and center on the homepage. We have a documentary we created, like a web series documentary called Snack Bites. That's our like a snack maker documentary where I visited five of our family businesses, interviewed them in Japanese, and created like a Netflix-like short web series. Things like that to really help show that these are the people you're supporting.
And the story you have is so strong. There's this cohesion between the founding story, the product story, and now the give back story. So it's great that you've leaned more into it. You talked about, you know, bringing that message more front and center with your customers. What are some ways you've done that from a technology standpoint and from a marketing perspective?
Yeah, so from a technology standpoint, it's things like trying to make it as easy as possible for them to know it exists. And actually, that's one of the reasons we started working Shopping Gives, is because when I found out that there was a Yapo integration, I actually found out about it through From Yapo. I was like, wait, this is great. Like, we don't have to code anything, really. And we now have this ability just in the loyalty page or customer portal, wherever we set it up, for our customers to now, like, the way we use it is they can now use their Boxy points, the loyalty program, to then donate to a cause that we've selected. And, you know, I know there's other ways through, like, the checkout or other ways we can kind of do that. But for now, we're kind of starting there, kind of test the waters to see what type of appetite our customers have for something like this. But, like, there's that, where we're looking for integrations, looking for partners to help us do that, where we don't have to all of a sudden develop this new way to donate that we don't know much about, right? Two is, like, using, as I mentioned before, like, multimedia, like having not only copying a website and images, but actually even creating videos and this docuseries and having that up on the website that we're streaming through Vimeo that's embedded. And, like, we're going to try and, like, see if we can get that out through emails, which is other ways of communicating with our customers to, you know, get them interested in the marketing side. There's also, like, we talk about that a lot, even in the box. So in the box, we always have this 24-page culture guide magazine, we call it. And in it, we have, like, interviews with the makers, like, ways to show that there is impact along the whole cycle, yeah. In terms of this new thing we're doing with Japan Society, we haven't yet, because it's brand new, we just launched, like, I think a month ago, where we're trying to figure out how to best communicate that a little bit, too, yeah.
It sounds like, at least with regard to messaging, you've explored areas that a lot of brands find to be really daunting, how to communicate around the social impact. What challenges have you faced in rolling out these initiatives and partnerships with nonprofits or ways to collect stories? Are there any roadblocks along the way?
Yeah, I mean, a pretty big one right away that we're still working through is, like, who are the right partners for us? Like, we have a pretty unique mission and purpose. And so, like, you know, I didn't want to do something like buy a pair of shoes, donate a pair of shoes, right? Not to name exactly who does that, which turns out doesn't really actually have that much impact. In fact, it had a negative impact in some of the communities it did that with. And, like, we're like, plant a tree or, like, you know, like, random, like, things like that, I feel like is not real or even in the DNA of our company. And if it works for some companies, that's great. But I wanted to make sure it was cohesive, that it had actual impact. And so that's why we've actually been very slow to try and figure out who the right partner is for these things. And we're still kind of working through it, actually, to be honest. That is one big thing for me. And when we do, like, will our customers, will it resonate with them? What programs resonate? So even with this new partnership, Japan Society is very nascent, and a lot of their programs are based in America. Like, they, like, help teach Japanese language at, like low-funded schools, like public schools in New York City or things like that. And I'm like, that's cool, but it's not necessarily even exactly what we're looking for. So I'm trying to create a custom program with them to see if we can have some type of small business impact in Japan. So we're getting there, yeah.
How do you involve your internal as well as external stakeholders in these initiatives? Are you dedicated to involving your employees in the social impact and making sure their values are represented in the work in addition to these partnerships with nonprofits?
Yeah, so, like, it's actually kind of even embedded in the values of Boxu. So we have our own, like, you know, purpose, values, like, traits type of thing that we do. And, like, a big part of our values are things like respect, empathy, humility, kind of cultural sustainability, as we talked about. And so just that alone, from who we hire and when we kind of train our employees and onboard them, that's all in them. So to know that we're here to have, like, a win-win situation from our vendors, our customers, like, us, our investors, you know, everybody. But, like, and so that's something we're always mindful of. In terms of getting them more actively involved, I think was maybe what you mean. Like, that is something that we have to see the ROI on that a little bit. Like, we, for example, I had my partnerships marketing manager and my head of marketing meet with the CMO of Japan Society, you going back to this example, and we're trying to talk about what type of partnership we can do beyond just donating money to them. And so we're, like, trying to figure that out and working through it. Like, right now, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of easy ones. And so we're, like, kind of trying to see if something comes up, we'll stay in touch and figure that out. But it is hard because, you know, we're still a business. We're still a for-profit business, and we're still growing. And we have to show, like, that the initiatives and the time we put in something has a return. And so we're kind of navigating through that and setting KPIs for it. Because if you don't, then it's just, like, feel good, but feel good is not enough. You need to actually have stats and numbers and things like that. And so that's why I'm actually curious to learn more ways we can work together with a partner like you guys, like Shopping Gives, to see what else we can do in, like, a more measurable way, you know?
Yeah. Well, good thing we're at our booth with a lot of people here who can talk to you about the different initiatives. I just think it's so interesting Your story is so interesting because we work with retailers of all shapes and sizes with different products, and a lot of companies find a cohesive message hard to land on. The task of launching social impact initiatives is very daunting because they have a hard time landing on that umbrella cohesive social impact message. And it seems like in the time your company's been live, you've found that rather easily because it all makes sense with the products and the mission and the founding story. And so if you could give any company that's looking to invest in social impact for the first time some best practices or a tip, what would it be?
I would say, like, actually, for more context for us, it didn't necessarily happen easily, even though it was kind of there in the beginning. It actually was, like, 3 years into the business that we even codified it to be, like, cultural sustainability. Even this term, we kind of made it up, but it's, like, really true to what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because, like, at the start, it wasn't so obvious. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of discussing amongst the team, reflection. And so that's the advice I would actually give to new companies is you don't have to rush it. Like, you don't have to get it perfect from the beginning either of what your impact will be. Like, grow your business, do the purpose and mission of what you want, and that can evolve. Like, our purpose has evolved over time in a lot of different ways. Like, it wasn't just supporting family business. Now it's, like, trying to spread culture more broadly throughout the world and things like that. And so take your time, like, kind of, you know, get advisors to help you, talk to other founders maybe, like, figure out, like, brainstorm through it, and you don't have to get it right the first time. And find an impact that is actually makes sense for your brand.
Definitely.
Like, don't just grab onto the hottest impact initiative that people are into right now, and that will actually resonate much stronger with your customers.
I would agree with that last piece, is find something that makes sense for the brand. There are a lot of different measurement tactics, like the UN Sustainable Development Goals has a map of different causes that brands can invest in to help advance. And yeah, it just sounds like you and your company have done a really great job, and we're excited to work with you more. And my last question is, what's next? What are you really excited for the next calendar year as far as social impact goes?
I'm actually really excited for seeing what else we can do, because we've up until now has just done it almost passively. As I mentioned, it's like because it's built into our sourcing and like operations supply chains, it's kind of just been there. But how else can we even have a bigger impact by working with directly with organizations and kind of really elevate the Boxu brand a lot higher so that, you know, we're not just shipping stacks around the world, we're actually sustaining culture, but like in a big way. And that's what I'm kind of going out there, meeting people, talking to people, like had a meeting with the different presidents of different nonprofits, things like that, to see how else we can kind of contribute. That's what I'm excited for.
Awesome. I am thrilled to partner with you in that endeavor. And lastly, where can listeners find more information about Boxu?
Yeah, I mean, there's actually a lot of it on Boxu.com, B-O-K-S-U. And on there's even the Makers documentary I talked about. There's a whole about section where we talk about our impact we're having. Yeah, and that's the best place to go check out what we're about.
Great. Danny, thank you so much for joining us here live at our booth at Shop Talk. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode of The Impact Exchange.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.